Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet, not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angel of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you have to say." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant an ear to hear your word. Let us truly hear so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, through your word, let us see what he has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with him. And we pray that you will pour out your grace, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear your word and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the last section of chapter 11, Jesus gave us a warning concerning the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the lawyers, meaning the scribes. And now we come into chapter 12. Here, Jesus begins to teach us the life that belongs to those who are with Christ and who gathers with Christ. So we begin chapter 12, verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." As you could see from that verse, many people gathered and came to Jesus. But if we read the rest of the book of Luke, the popularity of Jesus does not last long. When Jesus was dying on the cross, all flee from him. So many people had gathered, but Jesus speaks to his disciples first. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven. In the Bible, it is often used as a symbol of sin. And this verse that we read in Luke is similar to what God has said to the Israelites in the Old Testament during Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. The Israelites were commanded by God to observe the feast of the unleavened bread. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the Passover. And during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, for 7 days, they must remove leaven from their houses, and they must not eat anything leavened. Those 7 days without leaven, it points to the sinless heavenly life of God's people who are saved in Jesus Christ. So typologically, they were to witness that heavenly reality for that 7 days by removing the leaven. But here, the leaven of the Pharisees, here the sin that is symbolized by leaven is focused in terms of their hypocrisy. Hypocrisy often happens by one's desire to please men and to impress them. It happens because of one's fear of the other people, fear of being alone. Thus, the desire to impress the others. But Jesus says to be aware of that hypocrisy. Because those who are with Christ and gather with Him cannot live such life. Verse 2 and 3, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetop. Hypocrisy is simply useless. Why? Because all will be revealed. No matter how much you do your best to hide things, it will be revealed. We are able to deceive one another, and we are able to lie to one another, but we cannot deceive God. He knows, He already knows our hearts even before we do anything or say anything. And on that day when Jesus returns, all will be revealed. Even the things that were whispered in the inner rooms will be all revealed. And all will be judged. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Even the things that we did well will be revealed and be praised by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. See, do not go on passing judgment before it's time. You don't have to make up your mind on certain things when those things are revealed. You just wait until Jesus returns and everything will be revealed. You and I, we must speak only the truth with love. No matter how much we must suffer and be persecuted and be lonely, we must speak the truth. And we must not fear men. Verse 4 and 5, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him, Jesus says. We must fear God rather than men. See, men, they could only kill our body. They can kill us physically, but cannot kill our spirits. And even though they are able to kill us physically, God said, even death is gain, is something good. But the sinners, they fear men. And even though they fear men, they do not fear God. Romans chapter 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why they do all those things, because they don't fear God. But only God has authority to cast people into eternal hell. God says to fear him. But when he says that, we need to understand, for Christians, our fear of God is not being so terrified of God who will cast us into hell. No, he's not going to do that. Verse 4, when God says to fear him, he first calls his people my friends. Read verse 4. That's how God says. Even when he says, fear me, he says, my friends, fear me. We must fear him who calls us as his friends. I guess we could call this fear as the holy fear. This is different from non-Christians' fear. They're just terrified of God. That's not how we fear God. We must remember that God loves us and he is with us. Now here we must confirm something before we go on to next verse. The Bible clearly teaches the eternal punishment of hell. Some heretical people deny the existence of hell, saying that the loving God could not punish anyone that horrifying judgment. But God's eternal punishment of hell is clearly taught in the Bible. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 describes God as who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Revelation chapter 14 verse 11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. So hell is reality. And the torment of hell, forever torment, is what Bible teaches. Verse 6 and 7, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more important, more valuable than many sparrows. And why don't we have to fear this world or men? Because God loves us and He is with us and He cares for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 31, if God is for us, who is against us? Sparrows. Back then, they were the poor man's food. But even one of those is not forgotten before God. God cares for even those which are insignificant. Then how much more would God care for us, His people? That is the argument. God even counts the number of all our hairs. He knows all things and He cares for us. But we must remember, even when God cares for us, this does not mean that we cannot be killed by others in this world. Those kind of worldly care is not what this verse is talking about. Because those kind of worldly care is common grace. Even non-Christian can be spared of his life or whatever protection he might get when he lives his life out there. But God's true care is in terms of the special grace is His eternal heavenly care. Yes, forever and ever, no one can touch you. No one can harm you. But not until we get to heaven. And if it is God's will, He will protect us, even physically in this world, but we don't know. Maybe He wants to see us faster, then we will go home. But when it comes to His heavenly care, heavenly protection, oh, it's perfect and it's forever. God says this in Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Verse 8 and 9, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angel of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must confess Jesus Christ before men. Well, all our church members have confessed Jesus Christ before the whole church. But we must confess Jesus before the world also. And we must not fear this world, nor the people of this world. We must confess Jesus Christ before them. Then Jesus promises that He will also confess us before the angels of God. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus promises that He will confess us before His Father. But if we deny, then He will also deny us. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. As a Christian, how can we be ashamed of God and ashamed of his word? But many times, many Christians are afraid, scared. Because once you confess Jesus Christ and what He teaches, the persecution will come. But even then, God says, don't be afraid. All they could do is just kill you, and even death is gain. We have to start thinking like how God wants us to think. Don't think death as something bad. Bible clearly teaches it's something good. Really good. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. We go on to verse 10, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Jesus says that everyone who speaks a word against himself, that sin will be forgiven. But, he says, who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, that sin will not be forgiven. Now, this is a very difficult verse. But what Jesus says is very clear. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should be make requests for this. So it is very clear there is a sin that will not be forgiven. It will lead to death. See, your sins and my sin, it will not lead to death because even though we sin, we will not go to hell. And when it says death, that's what it means. Hell, forever. But there is sin that is not forgiven. Now, sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Sin leading to death. And these sins, there is no forgiveness. So question is, what is this sin? And like I say, it is not easy to answer, but the Bible clearly teaches that there is such a sin. Now, first of all, the book of Mark has the same saying. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Because, they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. Now, in Mark chapter 3, what was that sin? This sin, eternal sin, because, verse 30, they were saying, those who sinned this sin, they were saying that Jesus Christ has unclean spirit. As you know, what was the event? Jesus was casting out an evil spirit, and he was doing that by the finger of God, by the power of God, or by the Holy Spirit. But they were saying that Jesus is casting out an evil spirit by the power of Satan. That was the sin. This event in which Jesus is casting out an evil spirit, this event was revelation of God. Through that revelation, God witnesses to all of them and to us who is Jesus Christ and what He is doing and what He is accomplishing. The unforgivable sin is this. The revelation by the Holy Spirit is so clear, and Jesus is clearly witnessed, but the Pharisees and the lawyers deliberately, on purpose, intentionally, which is with so much hate, reject and oppose the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit and attributing the work of Holy Spirit to Satan. Trampling of the gospel of heaven and ridiculing the death of Jesus Christ and putting him to open shame. Continued, deliberate, intentional rejection and opposition on purpose with so much hate. This is the sin. You don't usually meet someone like that. Even though they might say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't go this far. Well, let me give you an example of what is not this sin. Apostle Peter. He denies Jesus 3 times. He denies Jesus to the point of cursing and swearing. But we know that he denied Jesus 3 times because he was afraid of men. Not because he rejected the revelation of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus Christ. Even as he denied Jesus, he had faith in Jesus. It's just faith was so weak. And his fear of man just dominated him. But that's not unforgivable sin. Because he did not deny the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He was just afraid. So Peter's sin is forgiven. Another example of sin that is forgiven by God, Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Many people rejected Jesus, but, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. So sin of rejecting and not believing in ignorance is forgiven. Of course, you have to come to the knowledge first and repent, but that sin you did in ignorance is forgiven. Actually, Bible teaches all other sin except this unforgivable sin, all other sins are forgiven. Mark chapter 3, verse 28, truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the Son of Man, and whatever blasphemies they utter to Jesus Christ, all sins shall be forgiven. Of course, this is accomplished by the Holy Spirit coming to us and recreating us as the new creation and giving us faith so that we may repent and believe. But the sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is not forgiven. The Bible even says that we don't even have to pray for those who is sinning this sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. John says, you don't even have to pray for that person. Because if that sin is not forgivable, then it means that he's going to go to hell. no matter how much you pray for that person, he's going to go to hell. So John says, you don't even have to pray for this person. Brothers and sisters, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about committing this sin. You are already a son of God. You are already a citizen of God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you are able to say that Jesus is my Lord and you truly mean it, then you have the Holy Spirit in you, because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do that. And when Holy Spirit is with you, when Holy Spirit lives in you and working in you, then how could we reject and oppose with so much hate the revelation of the Holy Spirit and attribute His work as the work of Satan? It's just impossible. If you worry that you might have committed this sin, your worrying clearly shows that you have not committed this sin. Because people who sin this sin would not worry about sinning against God. We hope that we don't meet that kind of person until we go to heaven, but in history, there were some people who went this far when they rejected Jesus. It wasn't just, oh, I don't think I believe kind of thing. Our passage ends with verse 11 and 12. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. Now, we could apply this to us also. The same grace is given unto us. Thus we pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and pray on my behalf, Paul says, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. First thing you do when you get up, you pray to God. You read His Word. You have fellowship with Him. Then you pray. Provide an opportunity for me to speak to non-Christians out there. Give me opportunity to meet somebody like that. And give me what to say. He will hear your he will hear your prayer. We are to pray for one another for this. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their hearts and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Look at all these people who are praying to God that the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak boldly the gospel. Speak exactly according to how we ought to speak. Pray. He will hear your prayer. Now the conclusion. You and I, we are with Christ and we gather with Him. Thus, we must not live a life of hypocrisy. But if we are very honest about ourselves, our lives are filled with hypocrisy. Only when we speak the gospel, we speak the truth. And Jesus Christ is the only one who has lived the truth. He is the truth. And He lived that life for us and in our places. That's what the gospel is telling us. And He was never afraid of this world and the people of this world. He completely trusted His Father and spoke only the truth before men. But when He died upon that cross bearing our sins, He was treated as a hypocrite, and as a someone who did not confess His Father. Do you remember chapter 12, verse 9 we just read before? But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Jesus was treated as a someone who has denied God. So when he cried out to his Father on the cross, the Father denied him. As if he lived that life of denying the Father. Why? Why did Father deny His Son? Because He was bearing our sins. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He has resurrected from the dead. Thus, His resurrection witnesses clearly that He is the Son of God and He is without sin. It was clearly witnessed by His resurrection. He was not a hypocrite, but that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And brothers and sisters in Christ, in Him, we too have become God's people who live the truth. We will live the truth in heaven forever and ever. That's who we are. So we must witness that reality as we live our lives here on earth. This is why we must not live as a hypocrite. When our Lord Jesus returns, on that glorious day, and we just pray that He will come quickly. But when He returns, like I told you before, when all will be revealed, when He returns, all will be revealed. And yet, because we are in Jesus Christ, we will be able to stand before God without any shame. Even though our lives are filled with filthy sins, it will be so embarrassing for people to see it. And yet, because we are in Jesus Christ, even when He returns and even when everything is revealed, we will be able to stand before God without shame. Why? Because Jesus' life of truth has become our life. I could claim His life as mine. And God will say, yes, that is your life. And there will be no shame as I receive Him as He comes to get us. First John chapter 2, verse 28, now little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And this has become our eternal heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. I think ESV has a better translation. Anyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Psalm 25 verse 3a, indeed, none of those who wait for You will be shamed. Brothers and sisters, this is our heavenly reality. Oh, yes, we are so shameful of our sins. All those sins that if people find out, they will not even want to talk to you anymore. But because of Jesus Christ, we are able to stand before God and before all men without any shame. Because Jesus' perfect life is our life. I could claim His life as mine. And God accepts it. And He accepts me as a person who lived that perfect life. See, this is the gospel. This is the good news. You must believe. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful salvation that He has accomplished for us. Even though we are so shameful, so filthy, sinners, and yet in Him we are able to stand before You as a righteous in Your sight. Oh Father, we give You all the glory, honor, and power. We love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.